Ryan sat with his back against a towering sycamore tree, hugging a tin mug of coffee sub. Once the sun was down, the night became cold. The camp was subdued after the burial, with none of the usual laughter and bantering. Dexter's guitar remained in its case, and many of the crew had already gone to bed. Hun strolled by, huddled inside a fur-lined jacket. She smiled down at Ryan and ruffled his hair.
You okay?
Sure. It happens. Her turn today, maybe my turn tomorrow.
At least we had a good quickie, huh?
Sure. Just got it in before the chilling started.
Time we managed to fit in a slowie, Ryan?
Not tonight, hun.
Hunniker nodded and walked away, her stocky body silhouetted against the crackling flames of one of the sentinel fires. The trader materialized out of the darkness like a wraith of the night, squatting next to Ryan with creaking knees.
Ah, dark night. Wish my joints worked a mite more quietly.
Want me to get you some coffee, sub?
Nah, no thanks, Ryan.
They sat for a few minutes in silence, peering into the night. Then Trader turned to Ryan.
Should've kept better watch, Ryan.
I know it.
Yeah, I figured you did. Just felt a needed saying.
Sure.
Changing plans. Not going farther north. Cutting east. Been hearing about a new ville with stocks of gas and ammo. Thought we'd go take us a look.
Yeah. Why not?
Rain glistened on the undulating blacktop ahead of Warwag 1 like a length of velvet ribbon. The trail east wound its way along the sides of valleys, plunging between sheer walls of quartz-speckled rocks close by turbulent water. In the 3 days that they'd been traveling since the firefight, they hadn't passed a single other vehicle. Twice they drove past fortified farms, built like medieval settlements, with a number of houses within a high stockade. Ryan had seen vids of the days of the Old West and recognized the pattern from cavalry forts. The small convoy didn't stop. Frontier people were likely to be fast on the trigger, and there was no point in risking lives. The road was often broken, either by the effects of the old nukings or by 100 years of bad weather. They had to stop once while a fallen tree was cleared off the blacktop. It was a heavily wooded area coming across to what had once been New Mexico. The trader immediately put both crews on full red alert. It was one of the most common tricks in Deathlands for muties to fell a tree and wait to see who they caught. They found an abandoned farm fort that evening. Its outer defenses were virtually intact, but several of the houses had been burned down. Cattle stalls and pig pens still remained, but there was no evidence that they'd been used for 12 years or more. They brought Warwag 1 around and parked it against a back wall where it looked weakest. Warwag 2 parked at the main gates. One sentry each manned the corner fire towers.
Just you and July?
Yeah.
How come you two got a shed with a roof all to your lonesomes?
Charm, Ryan. Everybody fucking loves me, don't they?
Hunniker thumped him so hard on the shoulder that he actually staggered.
Hey.
Not only had Hunniker managed to sneak her way into the best accommodation in the small fortress, but she'd managed to talk July into sharing it with her. It was after 10 o'clock at night. Over to the north, Ryan heard the distant rumble of thunder and saw the rich purple sky seamed with the silver lace of lightning. The idea of having a roof, even though it was only rough-cut sod, was better than having to crowd into the hot metal box of the wag. And if there was going to be any more heavy rain or hail, sleep would become next to impossible.
Come to think of it, you fucking love me too, right? Or at least you love my fucking. You up for that threesome tonight?
Does July know you're asking me, hun?
The tip of Hunniker's tongue came out and crept along her full lips very slowly, followed by a smile that Ryan recognized from several previous encounters.
It was her idea, Ryan.
You two only want me for my body.
You got that right.
The storm was coming closer. Many of the crews of the two wags began to roll up their sleepers and carry them back into the wags. Several of them saw Ryan standing in the doorway of the hut that had been commandeered by the two women.
You ship gold too, Ryan? Luck like you get wouldn't surprise me one damn bit.
Come in and prop that old door up, Ryan. Don't want everyone watching us, do we?
Nope.
Ryan hefted the door that had rotted off its leather hinges years ago and stuck it into place. wedging it with a couple of tumbled bricks. Inside the small 8x8 hut, it became suddenly totally black. Ryan was awakened by the crack of bright sunlight that appeared through a small hole in the corner of the roof. He was wearing only his shirt and combat boots. His pants, like everyone's on the WAGs, were wide enough and slid at the bottoms so that he could pull them off and keep his boots on.
Yeah.
His body felt stiff, and he stretched, exploring the sore places with questing fingertips. There was a little dried blood across his shoulders, and he could feel the raised welts from one of the women's nails. One of his front teeth felt loose. It had been dealt a cracking blow from July's knee as she rolled about on top of him. There were several bruises around Ryan's ribs, and his right cheekbone was puffy and tender. Hun played rough. His groin felt like someone had used a rotary sander on it, and he winced as he lifted off the sleeping roll. At his side, one of the two women turned over. There was just enough light for Ryan to make out July, her cropped blonde hair catching the dagger of golden sun. Cautiously, he sat up, licking his dry lips and experiencing a whole variety of tastes, some of them pleasant in a reminiscent sort of way. His hand fumbled for his blaster, feeling the reassuring shape and weight of the big Ruger. He became aware of the camp stirring awake outside. Ryan's nostrils caught the smell of frying food and the dark tang of coffee sub. Though he didn't usually worry much about the opinion of his companions, he was almost dreading opening the door and stepping out into the morning. Everyone on Warwag 1 and Warwag 2 would know where he'd been, who he'd been with, and what all three of them had been doing. Ryan started getting dressed, biting his lip as he pulled up his pants and fastened the heavy brass buckle. He checked that his long-bladed Bowie knife was in its soft leather sheath on his left hip, then slotted the blaster on the opposite side. The two women had also awakened and began to dress without a word. Hun was sitting in her sleeping bag, naked from the waist up, breasts tipped with fire in the shaft of bright light. She pulled on her shirt and winked up at Ryan. July was tugging her pants over her long, slim thighs, concealing a variety of scratches and bites as she did so. She looked at both Hun and Ryan, blushed, and then looked away.
Don't worry about it, kid. We all had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I never thought I'd like to do... It was real good.
Hunniker stood up and kissed Ryan on the cheek.
Guess we gotta go face the rest of the world, huh? Get us some side laughs. Tell you one thing, Ryan. If all men were like you, I might even give up women.
Suddenly feeling invincible, Ryan threw open the broken door and greeted the day, grinning widely. As the two-wag convoy rolled toward its destination, the land opened up. The snow caps were left behind, vanishing through the rear obslits, and the highway stretched straight and level ahead of them. It wasn't ambush country, and the trader agreed to allow full ventilation for the crews. It meant that all doors and obs were left open, so that a current of fresh, coolish air came filtering through. The weather was good, and the trader had ordered the noon meal to be served on the wheel. Raj, carrying a tray of plastic dishes, made his way through the long vehicle, balancing from months of experience against the swaying and jolting.
Hey, Raj, don't bother giving July none of that regular lunch food. I hear she's got a hankering for one of them big sausages. Ow! Hey, what the fuck?
One more word out of you, and I'll have Raj bring out that sausage, and I'll stuff it so far up your ass it'll tickle your throat.
There were no more jokes at July's expense. Ryan sat with JB and the trader at one of the metal folding tables that were fixed to the sides of the war wag. Their fourth at the meal was the senior navigating officer. The oldest member of the team, pushing well past 50, Beulah Webb, had joined them only a few weeks ago. Her predecessor, who'd been with the trader for 5 years, had been a lean black man named Jerry Craig. He'd tried to outrun a knife during a fight in a pest-hole drinker. The knife had caught up to him, and Warwag 1 was shy a navigator. The same fight had widowed Beulah Webb when a broken bottle severed her husband's